Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who meets with us in his word, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is once again taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. This time we read verses 44 through 48, the continuation of our gospel reading, which again took place on Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Are we really still doing Easter stuff, Pastor? Don't you know that was 2 weeks ago? This reading is literally from Easter Sunday night. Why are we still talking about Easter? Why are we still singing Easter hymns? Did you notice that first hymn said Jesus Christ is risen today? It's not Easter anymore. Well, I'm glad you asked. Technically, you didn't ask. I wrote the question myself. I'm the one who wrote the introduction. I'm the one who's preaching. But maybe you were thinking or wondering the same thing. Why are we still talking about and singing about Easter? Well, I'll start with a partial answer, and one of the answers is because our congregation does what the Lutheran Church has traditionally done, and that it follows a church calendar. The church calendar follows along with some of the important teachings and events in Jesus' life. It highlights some of the things that he did and taught. And Easter, of course, is one of those very important church festivals, and its season is traditionally celebrated by our congregation in the 6 weeks that follow Easter Sunday, right up until his ascension. His ascension took place 40 days after Easter. So the season of the church year that we're in right now is the Easter season, so you're probably going to hear Easter hymns. You're probably going to hear Easter readings, or at least things that are related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that answer might lead to another question. Why spend 6 Sundays celebrating Easter? Is it really that important? You know the answer. The answer is, of course, yes. Easter really is that important because the resurrection of Jesus is really that important. In fact, every Sunday is meant to be a little Easter. It's meant to be a celebration and a commemoration of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. It's one of the reasons we worship on Sunday. So actually, the reading of a text from Easter Sunday or the singing of an Easter hymn on a Sunday would be not out of place on any Sunday. So why was the resurrection so important? Why celebrate Easter so much? Why was Jesus' resurrection so essential? Well, to answer that question, let's listen to Jesus' words. Let him answer that question for us and hear his very own words from our text. Verse 46. He said, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Notice what he includes as essential along with his suffering and death. He includes the resurrection. That falls in the category of things he says must be. Again, why? Well, today let's continue our celebration of Easter by considering some of the reasons for the resurrection. First of all, in regard to Jesus. In regard to Jesus, his resurrection was essential because it proved his words and prove that all of God's words were true. If you are a note taker, and if you're following along in the bulletin, you'll see I have those points listed for you, but I've left some blank lines. If you'd like to fill them in, you're more than welcome to. The first reason in regard to Jesus why his resurrection was so essential was because it proved his words and all of God's words to be true. Jesus explained in the first verse of our text, he said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So the resurrection validated all of his words about himself. His words that he claimed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, God himself. You might remember from previous sermons or from our Easter sermons and messages over even the season of Lent, that Jesus had predicted this and prophesied this to his disciples a number of times during his ministry, that he would suffer, that he would die a death by crucifixion, and that he would rise again the third day. We're even told in the Gospel of Mark that he spoke this word openly so that all would hear and believe his prophecy. He didn't hide his teachings. He didn't share things with his disciples in secret and then say, "Don't tell anybody." No, he actually was very open about his teachings. He didn't keep things a secret like his enemies would claim and some other false teachers would claim after his ascension into heaven. In fact, Jesus was so open about these words. Remember who else knew that Jesus had predicted he was going to rise again on the third day? His enemies knew it. Remember what the Pharisees said to Pilate after Jesus' death and burial. They came to him and said, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" Well, of course, Jesus did in fact rise after 3 days. And his resurrection then proved all of his words to be true. But notice Jesus also explained to his disciples that it wasn't just his words that he spoke to them while he was doing his ministry on this earth that were proved to be true. He explains to his disciples that the entire Old Testament scriptures had prophesied this about him as well. Again, look at the words that he speaks in the first verse of our text. He said to them, "Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses," that refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, the prophets, those are the Old Testament books written by the prophets, and the Psalms. Therefore, Jesus' resurrection validates all of God's words as well. All those Old Testament prophecies, all the words that Jesus spoke, they all are validated and proved to be true because Jesus rose from the dead. Secondly, in regard to Jesus, his resurrection was essential because it proved that Jesus was who he claimed to be. It proved that he was and is the Son of God. Jesus' resurrection not only proved all his words to be true, it proved once and for all that Jesus was exactly who he claimed he was. And he claimed to be true God. He claimed to be the Son of God himself. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that the resurrection was God's ultimate proof that Jesus was and is his Son. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Jesus Christ our Lord was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Let's make sure here that we don't skip over one more important verse from this text, and that verse is verse 45. It's an easy one to kind of just gloss over and kind of move past, but let's pause for a moment and look at that verse. In verse 45, we're told that Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. This very thing that Jesus did for his disciples, he will do for us when we read the Scriptures, the Bible. And we pray that he would do just that he would open our minds to understand the Scriptures, and that we would see how these reasons for the resurrection in regard to Jesus are also essential in regard to us. And remember and understand that for you and me personally, the resurrection is also essential. Jesus' resurrection assures us of some incredibly important things. Jesus' resurrection assures us, first of all, that our sins are forgiven. The Apostle Paul tells us that without the resurrection, our faith in Jesus would be useless. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Why does Paul say this? How could Paul say this? Well, because Jesus shed blood on the cross. His death on the cross was the payment for our sins. But the resurrection was the proof that God had accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. It's the proof that our sins are, in fact, completely and fully forgiven. If there were no resurrection, if there were no living Savior, there would be no forgiveness. I've used this illustration before. It's not my own making. Many people have said this one, but people use this illustration and explain it this way. When you buy something, what is the proof that you bought it? What's the proof that you paid for it in full? It's the receipt, right? You get the receipt from the cashier after you buy something. So people have often used the death and blood of Jesus Christ to be the payment for sins, which it is, and the resurrection, they say, is like the receipt. The proof that God accepted the payment for sins and that all of our sins are paid in full. So Jesus' resurrection assures us that our sins are forgiven, but it also assures us of a very important fact as well. His resurrection proves and assures us that we too will be resurrected on the last day. Since Jesus rose from the dead, it guarantees that we too will rise. Don't take my word for it. You can hear Jesus' very own words himself. Jesus says in John 14, "Because I live, you will live also." He also says these familiar words about the resurrection. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And I hope and pray, and I'm thankful that by God's grace, we do. We do believe this. Jesus' resurrection is the foundation of our faith and our sure and certain promise of heaven. Jesus reminds us in our text of one more essential thing regarding the resurrection and its meaning for us. What did he list as some of the things that must be in our text? He talks about things that must be in verse 46. Well, he also lists something in verse 47. Look again at that verse and hear what he says. He says, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the nations, to all the world, is part of the things that Jesus says must be. Let's remind ourselves today that these words of Jesus to his disciples are also words of Jesus to us. We've once again been reminded of all that has been made ours through the resurrection of Jesus, that incredible news of forgiveness and eternal life through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. What are we going to do with that good news? Well, Jesus wants us to share it. He wants us to share this essential good news with others. And so our third and final essential reason for the resurrection is that it inspires us now to share the good news of salvation with others. Remember our first reading for this morning, how it inspired and moved Peter and John, who before the resurrection of Jesus were so confused by the resurrection, confused many times by what Jesus said, or very timid to speak up for his name. And yet, now that they knew and saw and witnessed the resurrection, They were bold proclaimers of Jesus and his resurrection, even before men who had put Jesus to death. And so Jesus reminds his disciples, and he reminds us in the last verse of our text, you are witnesses of these things. Now, maybe not eyewitnesses in the same way that the apostles were, but you and I are witnesses of these things through the scriptures, through the Bible. That sure and certain word of God in both the Old and New Testament make us witnesses of what Jesus did and said, taught, his death, his resurrection. We are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses through faith in those inspired and sure words of God. And finally, one day we will be witnesses with our own eyes in heaven. As the Apostle John once put it, we shall see him as he is. And he's not talking there about seeing him with eyes of faith. He's talking about really seeing him with our own eyes in heaven, seeing him as he is. And so as we continue our celebration and commemoration of Easter, may we never tire of the message of Jesus' resurrection. May we never forget its essential importance or the reasons for the resurrection. Jesus died so that we would live. He lives again so that we would never die. He lives to be our living Savior. He lives that we would live for our living Savior and share this life-giving message with everyone. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.